wonderful to sing that prayer with you and to come again to God's Word along with you as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're nearer the end than the beginning of this summer-long study going through 1 Corinthians and learning what God was saying to that church and its position there. It's such a struggling, tough time in the world, how it can speak to us in our struggling and tough time. I want to start out, though, with a philosophical question for you today. Do you know why geese fly in a V? The answer I was told is because they had seen when the chicken tried to cross the road and what happened to it. But we'll say a little something more about geese as we go on. I want to actually not talk about a V for a moment. I want to talk about the cross. Because the cross, I think we all know, is God's sign of love to us. The sign of his gift to us, of Jesus' incredible sacrifice. What he did in love when he was a substitute for you and for me, dying for my sins and yours, paying the price that we owed to God so that with our debts canceled, we can now be adopted, loved children of God forever, live with him in that kingdom Jesus spoke about in the gospel there forevermore. All of that tied up in that gift. And we looked last week at the idea of love. It was in 1 Corinthians 13. A reminder for us, I think, of love is this up and down part of the cross. A reminder of the love between God and us. Jesus coming down to earth as that baby. And then on the cross for us and our sins. And rising again back up to the Father to make a way for us in heaven. God loving us and us loving God. That direction. We'll get that clear and straight too. But then there's another direction to the cross. Don't you notice the horizontal cross beam? And I think that horizontal cross beam reminds us that Jesus was the one who said, here's the number one thing, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but also loving our neighbors as ourselves. Those two together form the cross. Those two together are the love that God said is at the very heart of our religion, of our faith, of our lives as Christians. And it's that love, the love between us and God, the love between us and one another on that horizontal crossbar that have made up what our focus has been so far. Today, then, I want to focus on this orientation of love between us. God's filled us up with love, and we talked about that in 1 Corinthians 13. Now it's how do we love and show that love for others? And we see that, this reminder of God's love, as we hear Paul then says, now it's up to you, it's what I want you to do, that God inspired Paul to write and say, follow the way of love. Not just know about love, not just receive love, but follow in the way. You've received it from him, now let's go and live it out. Whether we go to the right or we go to the left, whatever the direction is, let's follow in that way of love. And that's really what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is all about. It's going to talk about spiritual gifts. It's going to talk about all those things that we can have and connecting back with chapter 12 where he detailed what all of the gifts were. But in particular, it's how do you take the gift you have with the love God has given you and serve others, build others up. You're eager for gifts of the Spirit, he says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. But with that eagerness, I want you to try to excel. I want you to be eager to take that gift and use it to build up the church. This is so important. In fact, I think maybe it is as important or more important now than it has been, perhaps since the writing of the time when the Apostle Paul wrote this. That was a time when the civilization was very much anti-God, pagan, many gods, confusion, apart from God, a lot of fightings and wars, famines, earthquakes, and so much conflict. And the church was just this tiny little thing, just edging its way into the world. Nowadays, it feels as you see pictures in Europe and even here in the United States of empty churches or closed churches or sold churches, that the role of the church in this divided time in our society, this sometimes angry time in our culture, this fearful time with pandemics and everything else going on, this uncertain time, I think the role of the church is more important than it's ever been. And that means also then, not just the mission of the church shining light and sharing God's love and his message of love, but also how we stay healthy as a church so we can keep doing that. That's what I think he's getting at when he says, try to excel in these gifts that build each other up, that build up the church. Sociologists and psychologists have really kind of figured some of this stuff out. They've figured out that isolation and disconnectedness really messes us up. It gets us in a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulty, and down go the pages. We get lost. All right, we'll see if we can get back on track. They tell us that it leads to all kinds of bad things, that literally the isolation that's happening in our society, not just from the pandemic, but from people fearful of each other or angry at each other, of people just not knowing how to connect anymore, that it's leading to poorer health, weakened immune systems. People are experiencing even a shortness of lifespan, and they're suggesting that the amount of friends or the connections you have with other people are directly tied to that. Well, you know, that psychologist, that sociologist figuring out something that God's known since the very beginning. Way back in the very first book of the Bible, in the second chapter even, to address all that, God made it really clear when the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." We were made for connection with God and with each other. And without those two connections, we're weaker, we're more vulnerable, and we are not able to keep doing that part of building up the church, building up one another. If we're apart, if we're divided, if we let those divisions really be what stands out the most. So God in his wisdom, knowing so much of the importance of about love, even in the New Testament, he says, as we have in here, to build up the church, build one another up. 58 times in the New Testament, God uses the phrase one another or each other. Love one another. Submit to one another out of holy love. Greet each other with holy love and with kindness. Forgive one another your sins, even as they have been forgiven. Over and over, it's all there. And that's why in this chapter here in 1 Corinthians 14, that it is great to have gifts, but it's best to have the gifts that strengthen others. It's great to have the gift of tongues, the Apostle Paul says, and he goes on and on. It's like a prayer language. It's you connecting directly to God, your love to him, and receiving his love back. It's a wonderful thing. But what's better, 10,000 words of someone speaking their prayer language that nobody else understands, or 5 words that are clear and share the love of God and the grace of God? And Paul says, I know which one is best. I know which one you need. And in this divided world, this cold world, this fearful and uncertain and scary world, how much more do we need that encouragement? How much more do we need it here? We're not going to find it out in the culture. We're not going to find those inspirations very much out in society. Oh, they occasionally pop up in the news here and there. But where we'll find it is here in the church. Here among God's people, those who are hearing his word and receiving his love and that vertical orientation, and those who then take it and want to build each other up. I think this happens in such a powerful way, even in today's gospel reading. It's a reminder for us that it is best we use our gifts to strengthen others. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is trying to strengthen the disciples. He knows he's about to go to the cross. He knows he's about to die and give his life for us and for our sins there. He knows his time with the disciples that he loves is short. And in that time, he has this awareness of just how vulnerable and weak the church is, how much we need the strength and encouragement we can give each other. And he says, as Jesus is talking, he says, Simon. In fact, I think he says his name twice to really get his attention. Okay, Simon, forget about the food for a minute. Forget about this bragging about which one of you might be the greatest or the best, which they had just been doing. Simon, Simon, Satan wants to separate you all like wheat. That's his job. That's his mode of operating. Satan wants to separate. If he can separate Adam from Eve and Adam and Eve from God, then he can get them to start to feel afraid and alone and act out on those impulses to take care of themselves, to protect themselves, to grab for themselves. And then they've missed out on trusting God and what he provides and what he gives. Jesus sees that that same temptation is going to come to the disciples. Run away in fear. Go hide in your own homes. And there alone, hearing all of his condemnation from the devil, hearing all of the fearful things, you should run even further. All of the work that Jesus had poured into the church was at risk of being lost if what Satan wanted to do was accomplished. Satan wants to sift you like wheat, he said to Peter and to all the disciples there. He says to all of you, not just to you, Simon. And he wants to still do the same to us, to separate us, different races, different backgrounds, different preferences of worship style or whatever it is, or what we think about spiritual gifts or how worship ought to be, whatever those are, politics, all of it. Satan wants to try to find a way to separate us. It's been happening in our country, even during this pandemic, and in all kinds of ways. Satan wants to separate. God wants to unite. God wants us to unite and strengthen each other. And that's why he goes on and says to Peter, but Peter, I've prayed for you. And again, it's plural, for you all. But he also seems to emphasize specifically Peter's role. I've prayed for you, Peter, so that when you've returned, when you've turned back, when you've come off the cliff edge of fear and you remember those promises that my Spirit put in your heart that I've spoken and lived out among you, when you've come back, Peter, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Remind them of God's love and of his word. Come, Peter, and help them get strong. That's what encourage means, to put strength into someone else. Satan wants to separate. God wants to unite and have us encourage each other in that. And God even wanted to work through someone like Peter, who was fearful, who was going to stumble, who was going to deny even knowing Jesus three times. Jesus even says to him, you know, Peter, even you with those weaknesses and stumbles, you're what the church needs. You and I may not feel like we're the best speakers, preachers, encouragers, givers, teachers, leaders, volunteers, or anything else. We may think we have, and we're aware of all of our sins and all of our flaws and weaknesses. But we are better together than we are apart. We are better with your contribution, however flawed or weak or imperfect it might be. We are better with your word of encouragement, with your prayers of intercession, with your serving than we could possibly be without you. The world is so cold and divided and weak, and yet we have this blessing, this opportunity to build each other up. To build each other up to the glory of God, to the strengthening of the church, so that we can keep on being that light for one more generation. Keep on being that light and that giver of grace poured out toward us from the cross by Jesus to one more person. Keep on encouraging each other on until our journey here in this cold, struggling world is over and our life eternal goes on with him always. The geese, do you know why they really fly in a V? They fly in a V because when one goose is willing to be in the front, it takes the wind resistance and it creates a slipstream for everyone else. Their efficiency, their ability to fly on great long distance is increased, engineers say, by up to 70%. Some years ago, I didn't know that much about geese, But I did know a couple that was really struggling. They were having a really hard time being encouragers for one another. There was a lot of attacking, a lot of accusations. There was a lot of pain. And as we came to the cross and we learned about God's love together, we worked at that, listened to each other, forgave each other. They shared this message of the geese with me. The reminder that when one goose is wounded or even shot and hurt, two others will leave the formation and come down to be with that goose and stay with it until it's either recovered or it dies. And those two, or the one that's also healed now, restored, they'll all join back up with another V, and together they honk on to encouraging the one in the front, taking all of the force of the wind, lessening the flow for all of them. They honk that encouragement to each other to keep on keeping on. I think that's what we do here. When we share in our fellowship, when we look in each other's eyes and ask, "How are you, really?" When we listen, when we laugh, when we pray, when we love and encourage, we are being that force in this world that Jesus wanted. We are letting that love that came down from him extend out and strengthen each other, and we are all better for it. May God help us. Whether it's honking words of encouragement to those in front of us, it's stopping and pausing for those beside of us who are growing weak. May God help us all take the gifts he's given us and build each other up. In Jesus' name, amen.